If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Stuff.biz.
Yes, hello. The Daily Show, 1395, if you can believe that.
This is the good stuff, the right stuff.
Jewish apocalypse.
We are just like a week and a half, 2 weeks away from just like really in earnest being in the countdown of episode 14. Hello and welcome to the free edition of the Daily Show on the right stuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed. And we need you to join our ranks and support our programming as we are 100% listener funded. There are no advertisers. There are no mega donors. There is just you, the listener, keeping us in business. So navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall, where you can use your credit card. Yes, credit card for instant access with auto recurring charges monthly, quarterly, every 6 months, or every year. Alternatively, we also offer cryptocurrency payments as well as money orders paid by mail. So thank you for listening. Enjoy the first half of the show on therightstuff.biz. 88. I mean, that's a really...
Yeah.
That has been such a long time. It's sort of the thing you think, like, that day's never going to be here. Like, episode 1488, that's just so far.
I would never have believed it when we first started the show, but now it's inevitable that we will reach that moment.
It's right there. You just have to reach out and grab it. So we'll be reaching out and grabbing that, and hopefully you've reached out and grabbed this.
It's finally here. It's the first day of 31 days of Halloween.
That's right.
It's still going to be a while, though, before we get to that.
Well, we're talking about Halloween.
We are also six days out from the anniversary of October 7th.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And we'll be on. So that's next Wednesday, right? So we'll be here, right?
Yeah.
Is that how dates work?
Yeah.
Today's the 1st. We'll be here on the 7th? Or will we not be on until the 8th? Mm-hmm. Hold on.
October 7th was the day.
We won't be here until the 8th. We won't be here until the
8th. Ah!
It's not inclusive.
I've always messed that up. Damn it. I was hoping we would have an October 7th. So that's okay. That's fine. That means we'll be on October 6th. And we'll just play October 6th that day. That's a good song.
Yes.
Available on Spotify, Apple Music, and anywhere else that you can consume. Unfortunately, not available on CD because I didn't. I don't think you can. I don't know.
Well, whatever. But
not go. So, not well. Whatever. Go listen to it. It's good. Check me out.
No. Oh yeah. Go listen.
Check me out on
the
Spotify. Check me out on the YouTube Musics. On the.
I was thinking whatever in terms of what day we'll be on.
I don't
like.
We'll be on
the day we'll be on.
I should really that video you made with all the war footage. I should really put that somewhere that's available. Because that just got insta banned everywhere. Like the October 6th video is just not happening.
I did that two times for your videos, both of which it was appropriate. But you know, I feel like I could even do a better job. But you know,
I bet October 6th your video is on my Telegram channel somewhere. But since I'm Apple banned,
I got the video.
Yeah, I have it, but I just like a Telegram channel that's been taken down by the App Store doesn't reach as many people as it should. I could put it on Mega or something, but. I have to come up with a solution for that. Like, where can I put music videos that are too spicy? Like on YouTube, I put up, what was the last song I did? The Inferium. But I put it up without the lyrics because, you know, for pretty obvious reasons, like, why give them ammo?
Well,
so people don't know what I'm saying unless I, you know, but so they need, like, I wish there was someplace that could organize putting the lyric videos so you know exactly what's being said.
The idea that this footage is too spicy is interesting, though, because it's just war footage. And it's not like it's the first time that war footage has been overlaid over a musical track for a video to make a point about war and violence, right? Because this is actually what that is. And so but it's this particular war footage.
Right.
It's this particular stuff.
Right. They don't want you celebrating Jews getting owned.
Yeah, getting fucking killed by a grenade from a drone dropped on them. Dude, there was great footage from very, very early in the Jewish invasion of Gaza where like they got like 10 Israeli soldiers by dropping a grenade from like a quadcopter drone and like they got footage of it and I could not find it. It was like it's like one of the first like mass casualty incidents being posed on the Jewish army in
Difficult
Gaza.
Difficult security incident. Yay.
And I was just like, yeah, it was a great difficult security incident. So. Yes, it's like it's another difficult security incident. Everyone's like blowing horns and cheering.
So before we start with all that stuff, though, let's do a little
fucking white mail.
We finally received from the Antelope Hill. You can go to antelopehill.com. Here it is. The third edition of
Thick it is.
That is thick. A thick boy. And that's paperback, so that's all paper. That's not, there's not like a, I think they have a hardcover as well. I'm not sure, but that's the third
edition. They do have a hardcover.
Third edition Culture of Critique. Go check that out.
Yeah.
Do we have a discount code 40% with
them? Expanded. Yes. No. Antelope Hill. I think TRS1, I think there's like a 5% code. I think.
I don't know if it's TRS1 or if it's TRS. I don't remember.
It might be TDS. We do have one. We do have one. I gotta ask our buddy.
Yeah. Kevin McDonald.
What it is.
Culture of Critique. I assume those three globes on fire. Oh, the globalists getting taken down by this book.
Yeah.
We're taking down the globalists. The Culture of Critique. A globalism of critique.
I kind of feel like I'll do a little critique. Yeah, you know, I don't know. Like it's like it's just cool. Wingdings globes.
It's just cool graphics. Maybe doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's all right. I think we could maybe put like Jewish stars in the globes. Maybe a little bit more.
They also sent Stimulosis or Stimvlosis because that's that thing where you pretend like you're U's or V's. Stimvlosis. I don't know if it's supposed to be Stimvlosis or Stimulosis, but by Mark Thyme.
Like about...
It's a fiction work.
Oh, it's a novel. Okay,
it's a novel by Mark Thyme. And it says Jackalope Hill in the back. What, is that like their fiction imprint? Is that what they do with that?
Yes, Jackalope. I think that's what that is.
But then it also says Antelope Hill. Guys, what are you doing?
I know. They're trying to be. They're definitely trying to do like edgy stuff. Like they're doing like. Yes, we have a. I think Jackalope Hill is the fiction imprint.
I believe so. So you can check those out at antelopehillpublishing.com. We also got a nice letter that I keep forgetting to read.
Oh,
and now when I finally do read it here, I can put it away instead of having it on my desk all this time. This is from Stevie Bix. You remember Stevie Bix? He's an OG. He's a old Facebook friend.
Okay.
He's a Facebook friend that we made in one of the many like libertarian debate groups that we would go into and raid. We came out of that with, you know, doing that kind of stuff.
I have to remember who it is exactly, but I don't know. You have to remind me exactly. Because I don't remember the... Whatever, go ahead.
Sven and Co., please accept my heartfelt thanks for your unwavering commitment to resisting Judaism in all of its forms, from gay ops to faggotry to genocide and beyond. You will also want to accept the enclosed money. It will help with your efforts and will allow me to be a dedicated listener for another year. I've learned so very much from you over the years, and I'm looking forward to more insights and revelations. I don't have the personal bandwidth to do all the research and analysis, so I really depend on you for a true understanding of the world and current events, as strange as that may seem. Sincerely, thanks. Death to Israel, Stevie Bix. So thank you, Stevie. It's good to still have you along. Anytime I think of somebody from Facebook from the old days, I'm like, God, I wonder if that guy's just like, if I wonder if this or that guy is like a just a mugshot that like resents us now. But every now and then you get like correspondence, somebody I haven't heard from years, like Stevie. Well, Stevie sends a letter every year. I'm just glad that they're still alive.
I'm glad they're still kicking like the rest of us old timers.
He said, yeah. Well, he sends a nice letter every year with his re-up with his money. Order. It's always very encouraging to see that and. We appreciate you being out there, bud. I haven't talked to you.
I figure
years,
that the Facebook people, like, that none of them are going to be, like, normal. They're not, like, maybe some. If they're going to, I mean, I feel like no one's going to want to go back to just normie conservatism. They might get into some other weird stuff or something like that. But everybody was very dissatisfied with conservative and libertarianism. And that was sort of the organizing principle. So I don't know. Who knows? Maybe people just went back to MAGA. I don't know. Who knows?
Well, I didn't say there's any evidence of it. I just always worry about it because that's where people go.
Yeah, I just worry about everybody.
Like people that are from the old days that are still around, like, yes, I know you and I know yourself. But if I haven't talked to you in a long time, I always worry, like, oh, man. Like without having like daily or almost daily contact, like you just drift off. But it's good to see they don't.
I worry about that too. Yeah. But there are also people who have just been like happy with the... Just enjoyed the content throughout all these years, and like, that's that. So.
That's great. So make sure you're one of those content enjoyers. You can mail in a nice letter and a money order. Look, I have a whole handful right here. I have to do as well. I have to process them. I went and got them. I got all the mail, but I didn't process them yet. I will. I promise. I'm sorry. I will do the pajeting. Perhaps at lunchtime. Perhaps after the show. But, yeah. So that was that. Thanks, Stevie. Thanks, Animal Pill, for the nice notes.
It's funny. I will probably drive to your house later to get the book.
Really?
But, like, because, well, how am I going to get it? Like, I have to go get it.
Yeah.
And I need it because we're reviewing the book, and I want to read the actual hard copy.
Oh.
Okay. Jamie's out doing errands, and I was like, will you go by Jesse's and get it? No. And she's like, no, it's not on the way. And I was like,
well, nothing's on the way. Well, this is where we live. You just do it because, like, you're out.
You're out. Wait, don't we do that, right? Yeah, right? Thing? Like, you're out. We're out. I mean, she got
the question is, and we had to go did shopping. You ask her prior to her leaving, or was she already out?
I asked her before she left.
Okay, yeah, that's different. Because I understand if you're out and someone texts you and asks you to do something while you're already somewhere else, like, come the fuck on. Really? It's so annoying.
Particularly if you're halfway home, yes. But no.
If you're planning the trip and someone is like, could you go do such and such, then you can just add that to your itinerary.
Well, you always have to. That's in the opposite direction, right of refusal.
It is in the opposite direction. It is in the opposite direction where she's going.
Yeah.
But how many miles?
Well, the thing is, Jesse doesn't live that far from me no matter what, so it's not that big of a deal. But, like,
right, so it doesn't matter.
It's far enough. Yeah. It's probably like 20 minutes between my
house. It is annoying.
And it's like, it's
20 minutes.
It's not nothing.
Well, she would go up on that one route, you know, that route that goes by the place where the Indians bought, and instead of turning right to go to your house, she'd just keep going straight. That would be the way she would go.
Bad. I fantasize about bedposty things about that deli.
They pajeted it all up, too. They pajeted it all up.
I've been in there once. I went in there when we went on vacation. Back in August.
I haven't been in there. I have not been in there since I have not been in there since I swore off of it. But just from the outside, they put a bunch of like cigarette ads and beer ads and shit out. And it's just like, wow, this is, I mean, there was a few, like they had like a Miller, like a Coors sign like in the window or something like that. Or like a Bud sign, but it wasn't that obtrusive. Now they just pajeted it all up. Like you probably have a big thing like vapes sold here. Like, that's one thing they probably have vapes in there now. They didn't have vapes in there before. I don't know. Whatever, man. Once the place starts selling vapes, it's like,
I was in there and there were younger Indians. They were probably younger than we are. You have like the one, they have security. They don't just have, they didn't just put security cameras ever. They have the large security monitors behind the counter facing out so you can watch yourself because, you know, that's what we do up here because these people are obviously used to more diverse areas of New Jersey or wherever the hell they were, where niggers come and rob them. And so they come out here with that attitude and in front of the nice white people that just want to go hunting or fishing, whatever the fuck else they're doing. And they took everything down. So like there's no shelf that's higher than like chest level. So they can see they can see you at all times. And this dude's like walking around. He's got the Bluetooth thing on his ear. Like it's fucking like 2009. It's just like
I hate it so much. I haven't been in there.
They're doing the thing where they're on the Bluetooth murmuring with somebody at the home country probably talking, and this ugly fucking nasty woman comes out and like the weird scarves and rags and just like loose fucking billowing whatever the fuck that those people wear, and then like they're all in like sandals and they're gigantic nasty like mocha colored toes,
yellow toenails.
Like you see all that shit. It's just like, it's like, God, like why? And now it's like what we were talking about on prep.
Giant,
is like, it's like
you don't understand. Crusty yellow like, brown toenails.
And then it's like what we were talking about on prep. It's like, well, this is not a problem that anyone wants to solve that has any power. No. Like we can look at it and be like, what are these people here for? Like, why would anybody want this? Well, they want us here to destroy us. They want me to walk in the store and have my morale destroyed. Have my ability to like have. Like what if you could run a little nice little corner store business like that? No, you can't. That's for Indians. That's for people with the tax kickbacks.
Nobody in power would consider that a problem.
No.
They would be like, this is a boon for the economy. This place is like that place was flagging before. It wasn't bringing in.
Well, the problem.
We now have a new business bringing in tax revenue. Aren't you happy?
Well, it's not bringing in tax revenue. They're getting
tax exempt. That's what they would say.
But they look at the problem as like, hey, these like old wealthy boomers own this deli. How do we? Oh, the problem has been solved. We got an Indian conglomerate to come in and get it. Some Indians.
Well, the problem
from New
solved
Jersey.
Itself. I mean, the boomers got tired of running the place, and they didn't have anybody. You know, these are the buyers.
Since
right?
millennials
buyers.
Don't want to work, since nobody since
millennials
wants to
don't have
work
any money.
In this country, no, it's like oh,
you don't have any money to buy a business.
Yeah, like how are you supposed to buy a business? I don't know.
I don't know, but it's also just like that.
I want to defensively buy the last deli in the area to make sure, but I just don't know.
I used to be friends with the libertarian guy who tried to run convenience stores, and he was always talking about how like he would have to get there before the Sikhs and the Indians got there, yep. and like to try and get a property, or if he saw a store that looked like it was going out of business, he would maybe want to buy it. And he's like, yeah, no, as soon as I come in, because he was on some kind of a budget, and he's like, they'll just outbid me and they'll undercut me and they'll just do whatever. And I was like, eventually like got out of it. Cause it just like, it's like, what's the point, you know?
Yeah.
Like he was just actually trying to do the thing about, he was looking to have a bunch of stores. He didn't want to just have one, but still it was like,
the economies of scale. Yeah. If I can pinch with
one. He definitely wanted to make money, but he was still white and he was, you know what I mean? So it's just
So I figure we might as well just go through this, go through some anti-capitalism stuff right now. Cause this is making the rounds right here. This little video, if I could get it to pop up here. I'm going to show it to you as soon as I get it to, there we go. This is a young lady.
Blind here.
She's crying about
it. Looks like someone who deserves whatever is happening to her that's bad.
Yeah, that's the general consensus from people watching it.
Literally, how do people work an 8-to-5 for their whole life? Like, it's actually miserable.
Yep.
You're right.
And I have no idea what I want to do with my life. And my husband's gonna kill me because I just quit my job and I just hate working. I hate it so much.
Yep, so of course this is a lazy millennial who's having a mental breakdown because, oh, you wanna go work? And so
women don't want to work.
Nobody wants to work. Why should you want to work? If you go to work 8-to-5, it sucks. That this economy has been organized this way, and if you're the kind of nigger that's like convinced yourself to like take pride in it, like there's something like that's just a cope for you not wanting to accept that you're miserable. Like there's nothing to take pride in. Like going to work 8-to-5, even if it's for yourself, even if it's for your own, that fuck your small business. Even if it's for your own business, like you're still like, look what you have to do. Look at this third worldism you have to engage in to get by. And if you don't. Then what? You die, and that's just okay. You starve. You have no place to live. You become unhoused.
Well,
so
I saw someone had posted too. It was like, yeah, it's kind of stupid to work Monday through Friday because basically, if you have an 8-hour shift, your day is already shot. Right? Yep.
Day's ruined.
You work ruined your whole day. Day
is shot.
Well, let's talk about. Let's be more accurate. Your work is 9 hours. Let's be more accurate. At least 9 hours. And how much commute time do you got? A lot of people are commuting long ways because you can't live near where you, for whatever reason, places of commerce. Ryan, for some reason, the only people who can live in near places of commerce are niggers that destroy the place. And then everybody else has to like leave. This has been the, you know, one more exit down the highway bit for as long as this country has been taken over by the Jews. So,
yeah, I mean, back whenever I was working a normie job, I did shift work, which is 12 hours or 24 hours. And honestly, with a 12-hour shift, it's like, you might as well. Ain't like you don't do anything else for the rest of your day.
Yeah. Not by the time you get it out of the way. If you do like 3 12 hours and then you get a
Then you get it out of the way.
You could live at
that's
least,
the
right?
thing is you're going to commute and then you're going to have to drive all the distance. And I drove about an hour or so to go to work. Like a lot of people.
Yep.
I used to always chafe at like schedules as well because I would be like, well, I mean, like I just hate them. Like, it's also why I left college because I hated schedules.
The other fun thing,
but
my other favorite thing is like, so a lot of businesses that you might need to use after work, they're already closed by the time you get off.
Yep. That's also the one thing that make this make sense. Stupid. Make this make fucking sense. The businesses like shops, storefronts are open the same hours as you're supposed to be at work.
Yep.
Why?
Banks.
Like, why? Like, I guess, like, old people? I don't know. Like, what?
God forbid you have to take the car to the shop.
When you're off, it's like they're also...
If you have to take the car to the shop, like, now, like, what are you going to do about working? Like, that's all on you, right? Like, that's the thing I love the most about America is, like, your entire commute problem, like, that's your problem. Your boss has nothing to do with that.
Oh, yeah.
No, and you don't? Expects you, like, do you have reliable transportation? It's like, at the moment, that's always on the, that's always,
not
like,
only I have, that.
Like, a friend of mine the other, just a couple of weeks ago, he's got a job where he's commuting. He's been working remote for a while, had to get a different job. He runs over some creek shitting asshole's fucking trailer hitch that fell off his car, totals his car.
Oh my god.
Rips the power steering, the power steering yeah. system and like the oil pan just ripped off the bottom of the car, and it's enough damage that the car is totaled.
The car is shot, right. Yeah.
The car is completely, it's not shot. It's literally totaled, like the insurance company, you know, they took custody of the vehicle, they're taking it in, and they're gonna figure out how they can fuck him, and I think they fucked him. I'm like, well, your deductible is like, oh, glad I paid all these premiums to have my deductible, like, make sure I don't get any money back. But, you know, they pay off the loan, and then this, but the whole time it's like, I gotta get to the rental car place immediately so that I can go to work tomorrow and for as many days it takes for me to like get to a dealership and buy another car under duress. It's like the system mm-hmm. is so fucked, and it's like it's and that's like all thing, for free. That's like, you want the job, right? Well, if you don't want the job, then I guess, you know, don't hustle to get a vehicle.
Function, yeah. In America, you have to have
Hi, hope you're enjoying the show. therightstuff.biz/paywall. Subscribe and hear the rest of it. You're only getting half the show. We take credit cards, cryptocurrency, and money orders by mail.
Two cars, not just one. You have to have a backup
car. I have two cars.
A secondary car.
You got to have a backup car. You got to have, like, you do have to have two cars. It's like almost impossible.
You got to have multiple cars.
Well, you remember what happened when I accidentally left the key in her bag, and I was at the store without the key in my car.
Oh, yeah, because you had the
car. And then the other car. The other car battery was dead, and I had to call Jesse. Otherwise, I would have been trapped in the store. Anyway, so you need two cars. Yeah. But but also, like, the thing that's most insulting, you don't get to take your costs out of your taxes.
No.
Like, businesses get to deduct costs.
Right.
Why don't employees? This is some bullshit. Like, because if a business has a car, as a company car, that has to go around
mileage,
for company mm-hmm. business, that can all be tax deductible. But like, I, as a person who has to drive to a place of work,
fuck you.
None of that is tax deductible.
Nope.
Why not? That's some bullshit. And I remember when I first started paying taxes, my dad was helping me with my first income tax statement or whatever. And I was like, yo, can't I just all the gas I paid to go to work? He's like, nah, they're not gonna let you do that. And I was like, that's bullshit. What the fuck? And he was like, yeah, it is bullshit, but that's the ropes. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Yep. I was outraged at that point. I was literally outraged. I was like 19 or something. I don't know, 20 years old. I was like so angry that I couldn't.
Your reward for the convenience of driving 1 hour one way to work is you also
wear and tear on your vehicle.
It's completely responsible for everything that happens as you're driving that hour. Stupid. Yeah. It was really funny too, because when I worked shift work, we would occasionally be on call, and they would pay you when you were on call. Like, as soon as you clock in to go and respond, you know, show up, that's when your time starts.
Oh,
when you start to respond.
So being at home, like ready to go if the call comes doesn't count.
Right. Right. Right.
That's fucked up.
But you can see back in there, yes, you could very obviously just calculate that in, like, okay, when your employee clocks in and leaves from their house, you should have to pay them that time. You should. As a business, you should have to pay them.
Oh, yeah.
You should have to do that. Real.
No, that should be... You should, apparently,
that should be an hourly wage.
You should always get a company car.
No.
What's so funny is, like, there's more and more videos like that where someone cries about work, whines about, or the chatter about what job interviews are like, or what the, you know, getting an AI, like, auto rebuke from an employer that you apply to. Like, you send your AI resume to the AI job recruiter, and you got the AI response like, no, thank you. It's like, it's
for an AI job. The job isn't even real.
Well,
and like, so, like,
all this stuff is out of the bag that, like, yeah, like, there's no bootstrapping. There's no pride. There's no pounding the pavement. There's no firm handshakes. There's no, it's like, this economy's fucked. And it's not just the economy. It's capitalism is fucked. And the way this economy has been organized for, I don't know how long you want to go back and say it, but I always like to think back to the end of World War II is when this country really destroying itself. The way this stuff started to get organized, like, and being on, like, the other side of that little boom, of that little, like, prosperity boom, and having, like, the people still lingering that sort of lived through the tail end of it or part of it, or they got accustomed to, like, playing the game.
We lived through the tail end of it, but, like, yeah, there were people that lived their whole lives in it.
We lived in the tail end of it without getting any out of it. Well, you got more of it than I did, I think. But, like, our parents really were, like, they were, like, the last, like, rich people that don't deserve to, like, Like the like what I saw. Deserve, yeah, yeah. Like this.
Like, didn't deserve to be rich.
Like this is what really. Like this is what really happened in 2020 with all the inflation and everything at the end of the first Trump campaign. Is like that is when the or probably during the Trump administration when the economy went down and COVID hit. Like that was the end of like okay, nobody who doesn't deserve to be rich is rich anymore. Like all this time you felt like people who just average yokels who do nothing like feel like they're living pretty high on the hog in this country. Like you could be pretty
well.
But you suddenly,
let me put you on this a little bit.
Suddenly,
though,
suddenly, like you're the salary level you're at isn't what you thought it was. Like it's a whole new like baseline of where you need to start thinking like, hey, I'm doing pretty good here. Like all just like ripped away. You know,
I want to push back on this for one thing though. I think my parents did deserve to be rich. Like they should have been rich, but they should have been richer. Should have had more money, and so should everyone else. You know, like there was like my dad went to an office and did like he wrote like marketing brochures and shit. He made a ton of money. Bullshit. Like I'm glad he made a ton of money doing that. Fuck, Chase Bank didn't need that money. Fuck them. You know? Like, good. But, yeah, the economy was like that.
Yeah.
At that time. So, no, I'm very happy.
That's why the boomers are like this. Because it's like, you can have a job doing absolute bullshit and be rich.
Right.
You can have a job
that's like... I see what you mean. Like, the idea of deserving is a funny thing. But, like, the issue is that, like, we need to have people today that can do bullshit and make a lot of money. We need... Everybody today needs to get...
Well, today, everything is bullshit. And there's no money, yeah. And no one can do it.
Yeah, it's just the same. It's the same bullshit, but less money.
Because like, the problem annoying. Is like the bullshit. Like the problem is the bullshit itself. Like, but fuck marketing. Marketing is an evil industry where people, you know, that's one of the fun things. Is marketing dependent? Ah, it's a whole different subject. Never mind. I don't want to go in there. But
like, okay, I understand that. But the point is that he didn't choose to do that shit. That was just.
I'm not attacking your dad. God.
But nobody chose the structure of it. Like I'm just saying, like in the structure, it's fine that people are making a lot of money. But yeah. But yeah, go ahead. Sorry. I didn't mean to undermine whatever you're doing.
Yeah, you always do.
You attribute intent to this. It's not that I attribute intent.
It's just that you should just know better by now. But you do it anyway with a big smile on your face, with a big shitting grin. I'm sorry. Like you're not sorry. You're gonna do it again tomorrow, and I accept it.
Fine. What are we even talking about? I think that everybody deserved to live the way the boomers lived. Is my point. Like we should have more people with that amount of like
right.
Just yeah.
Well, that's like the most basic analysis is okay. Productivity is going up. Why am I not getting paid more for less work?
Right. That's what
you should be. That's the whole point of
Why am I stuck with the 5-day Monday through Friday work schedule?
Yeah, I shouldn't have to work 5 days. I should work 3 days and have 4 days to myself. Or I should have several weeks off in a block so I can enjoy myself. I should just be a layabout, and not do anything. Why do you think I do podcasts?
Well, this is what I've always said is the why I'm not. That concern, like a lot of people talk about automation is a problem, and they see it as a problem because they're like, it's going to kick everybody out of jobs. It's like that wouldn't be a problem if it was managed correctly, as well as like lowering of population numbers, like a slight decline in the population.
Oh, it'd be
also
fine.
Would not be a problem.
There's no reason to
if
not
this
do
was
that.
Done properly. We could have like the United States is too popular.
Yep.
The population should go down. It should go down, but mainly it should be non-white population should go down. But if we had, like, just think about it. If like, how awesome would this be? Imagine living in this country when it was like 150 million people and they're all white.
Yeah.
It's like no lines, no traffic.
No traffic.
Be like, you know, I don't know.
Be like 2021. Everywhere you go, there's nobody there. It's like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
I remember that. That was wonderful.
But yeah, just like the attitude like remains of these people. Like, oh, you should be working hard. It's like, the cat is out of the bag. For the boomers will understand. Is like working hard is for Trumps, right? Yeah. Like the
boomers didn't work hard. They just lied to themselves that they did. But yeah,
that's possible too. I'm not really sure. I can't say because I don't know boomers that.
I think they're a lot of. I think they're full of shit. I don't think they worked particularly hard.
Well, they told again.
I don't think they did either.
But what did they tell you to do? Like they tell. What do they tell you?
Well, as they their tell child? You. They assume that what their experience is just going to be continued, and their experience was basically getting easy bullshit jobs and making money. And
so there's a psychological phenomenon, right? Where if you have money, even if you got that money from somebody just giving it to you, just straight up giving it to you,
you deserve
start
it.
To rationalize how you earned it.
You absolutely it's the best thing that you have. It you are the most important person to have that money. Well, everything you did, yeah.
It's more like, well, you know, I deserve that. And you start to come up with reasons for why you actually earned it somehow, even if somebody just gave it to you. Like, on some level, you start to think you actually earned it.
I don't want to get into the, like, parsing out what it means to, like, deserve, you know, but, like, that's all other conversation.
So if a boomer, for example, sits there and thinks to himself, you know, I have lots of money. My house is worth like $1 million. I've done pretty well. It's because I worked hard. That's why. It's because I worked hard.
Right.
That's the only possible explanation is I worked hard. It's not because there was like circumstances in play.
You are not a beneficiary of a macroeconomic system. Yeah. That, like, allowed,
I just worked hard. It's the only explanation. I got it by my own gumption.
This is the actual truth. Is that like you are just fucking cogs in a system, and the system was just worked better for people.
Right. Like they don't understand. Like you can still work hard, like, but the reward process or the reward structure for your hard work doesn't exist anymore.
No, it doesn't. No, working hard is not
right. Yeah. So like they don't.
Well, you can also slack, and that doesn't net anything.
Well, yes, like you can be a slacker, but now with like that's like that's why the story of the fucking generation is quiet quitting and slowing down and stuff.
Yeah.
Because there's no point to who are you working hard for? Like, what Pajita are you working hard for? What Jew are you working hard for? It's all bullshit.
You know, so Kevin McDonald uses this phrase.
And that the person who works hard and is efficient is rewarded with more work. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, look how fast this guy's going. Give him that too. Like, ah, shit. If you don't learn to slow the fuck down, then you're just gonna get taken advantage of. I remember I worked at a place that like after I got hired, like started. It became sort of apparent that they were heavily implying like everyone's required to work overtime. Like, I'm not working overtime. I'm not staying here. I'm not staying here even later. Oh, I'm not doing
that.
I had
jobs where that was expectation going in.
Well, they didn't tell you going in. It was more they chose the line of like, we're gonna get you in. It's great. And then you notice when everyone's getting asked to do overtime, and you're like, whoa. God. And then you'll feel the social pressure.
I remember jobs where it was understood that the only way to make money was to get that mandatory overtime that they were going to give you.
Right.
But your base rate was going to be low. That's how fucked the economy has been for a while.
This is what happens when you don't have unions. Because another boomer, another boomer myth is like, you know, unions hold you back from your potential. Your like earning potential is held back by their like negotiated like salary increase structure that they have. It's like, no, it's not. Like, it's protected. Like, you earn more than you possibly... I mean, if you're a really super special snowflake, then, like, you probably shouldn't be in union work where your wages are being protected from predatory capitalism. Fine, but am I one of those? Are you? Probably not. You think you are because you're a boomer. You think I am because whatever. You think anybody can be anything. It's like, shut up, boomer. No, you can't. You can be an American fucking retard. Like, that's all you can be.
Yeah. So... here's the thing, Kevin. As I was trying to say, Kevin McDonald, he uses this phrase called human energy pyramid. And he talks about how Jews have basically put themselves at the top of this pyramid. So they don't exert physical energy, but they get, you know, they're getting all these rewards.
Right.
And I feel like
slaves each.
Right. White people used to be like closer to the top of this energy pyramid. And we are now descending it. But the issue is though that the energy pyramid at the bottom levels, like, it doesn't have to be driven by human labor anymore. Like, it used to be like slaves and shit like that. Like, we have machines, we have automation. So the point of the sort of the purpose, the idea of capitalism in terms of adding capital to the production processes ought to be replacing grueling work with machines at the bottom of the human energy pyramid. So we have machines that do these things.
We have beaners too.
And then
in golems. You want a bunch of machines to do it? How Jewish?
Okay. Fine.
Whatever. Wonder where you got that idea.
Right.
Okay. Anyway.
I forgot you were a Luddite. You want to just
No. It's Halloween Tober, so I was thinking about
the main thing. The other thing is
things. It's like the golem, the Jewish golem.
The woman having a mental breakdown.
Yeah.
That was always happening. Now you're just seeing it.
Okay.
There was probably always some woman. Maybe it. Although mental health has also degraded, that's true. But I don't know. There is also something about her that it is kind of annoying to watch. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, she does seem kind of annoying. But like, I get why people would have like a sort of a negative reaction to it. Like,
I don't
just
people that people have a negative reaction to it. Just like they want to, they're like, they're conservatives trying to protect
their
own sense of self. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm not as dumb as this cringe bitch. It's like, you are right. Just in your own way. Like, I feel nothing but compassion for that woman. I'm like, yeah, you shouldn't have to work. I hope your husband doesn't get mad at you. I hope there's some way.
I hope her husband. That's my main thing.
I hope that he has some way of like, not, I don't want to be like, he should be a man and step up. Like, I hope he has some way that he can figure something out so that you could be a single income family because you'll be happier. But, you know, right. I'm not going to put it on if you can't, because the circumstances in this economy are just impossible. And they're designed to not let you do that. Right?
What is with like conservatives and these right wingers anyway? It's just whatever social norm was instituted 5 seconds ago. That's the thing that they're defending.
Yeah, like, they don't, because they don't come up with them themselves. They're not. They are like literally always reactionary. So it's funny because they talk a lot about women and how women like ruined everything. And then they love this kind of thing, right? Yeah. They actually take enjoyment from this because they're like, okay, so
she quit her Jewish daycare. Shut the fuck up.
She's getting what she deserves because like she asked for this. She voted for this, right? Because every woman that you see is like an extreme liberated, like politics of like a power couple, lesbian power couple, liberal. That's like every woman you see has those same exact politics.
Well, and I just like the idea that like if they voted for Republicans, like none of this stuff would be happening. Like, what are you, nuts? Like, it's worse. Like, wait, the Republicans, like, oh, she should work for the party that's even more interested in making sure that big business and capital makes money and workers suffer. the thing about fucking Republicans and conservatives is, like, the only thing that's interesting, the only thing you can be attracted to is if you're one of these rubes is, like, they try to convince you that those interests are actually yours. They try to convince you that, like, remember, you know, like, the whole trickle-down economics, they're telling you, they're pissing on you. And then it's raining, and then it's rain is good for you. It's just funny. It's like they tell you, like, pretend that like the 9-to-5 structure and not having tax deductions for your commute expenses and whatnot. That's all good. That keeps you on your toes. It keeps you independent. It keeps you
I think is for chumps.
Yep, it's for chumps.
Protestant work ethic is propaganda. It's for chumps, and it's something that it's very common, and it's like people. Man, when COVID was going on, I was telling people like, you know, you should just take the government money and you know, and like, this is good. And,
that means you're a communist.
Isn't this awesome? Like, it was getting so much suddenly people who I thought should have been like on board with that were like talking about the dignity of work. And I'm like, shut up.
Well, I mean, it's anachronistic, right? Well, like in colonial times, yes, the Protestant work ethic would make a lot of sense. Doesn't make sense now. In a previous era, yes, because what other option do you have but to work your ass off? I mean, we went to a very historic building over the weekend, and they made the bricks for it locally. Like, ooh, literally right. Everything used.
Yeah, you're literally building your own house.
Horse and buggy people did that?
Yeah. I mean, that work ethic shit was like you're building like your own house.
Yeah.
Like you're right. You're actually...
homesteading the land, as the right. libertarians would say.
Right. That is actually hard work.
Literally homesteading. And there is no other option because you don't have the other technology available. But now, the place has been fully colonized. You're now living in an older civilization, and they're expecting you to have this same kind of colonial work ethic. It's like, but why? I'm grinding resources for the big boss.
Particularly given
my own house here.
Particularly given capitalism and the introduction of capital and automation in the production process, which does increase worker marginal productivity, and it ought to mean more leisure time and more money for everybody. That's the point. That's what it should be doing. And if it is not doing that, if as we introduce more and more capital into the production process, we are not increasing incomes and standards of living while lowering labor time, we're just doing it wrong. And so what is it that's stopping us from doing that? Well,
where's that money going? Where's it going?
Oh. Well, for one, there's a few different things. It's going up. And one of the ways that it keeps going up is by introducing competition. Why do you introduce competition when you have automation? That is, I mean, first of all, you shouldn't introduce competition from foreign races anyway. That's immoral. But, introducing it just purely economically is also why should you be allowed to do that? I mean, the biggest union should just be the state. Like, this is, you know, it's and in the end, like labor unions themselves, I think are a less than optimal solution to this problem. Like it should just be the fucking state. That's what the Nazis ultimately.
Yeah, you need to have a Nazi state that is like anti-capital, that takes the side of the workers at all times because they're not Jewish. The problem is we have a Jewish capitalist system and we have Jew capital running the show, and so they're gonna.
The economics question, it's funny, people still like to debate it. I consider it kind of like settled science. Like we kind of know how to do this, like how you would manage, like what to do. The problem is that the challenges that the American economy is supposed to be dealing with are not challenges that you should have to deal with. Like, why are you dealing? Why do we have this challenge of like incorporating foreigners? Like, we just don't incorporate foreigners.
Because the real challenge is like, how do we get rid of this population of goyim that are too like wildly and
the challenge
smart?
Is,
how do we get rid of them? And like, oh, challenge is like H-1B, Venezuelans, Haitians.
Challenge is like, Jews are like, we need to have a pluralist population of a bunch of different types of people. So we're the only, you know, we've discussed it very clearly. What they want is a lot of different kinds of people. And the surface level that everybody gets to be their own self and have their own dignity and pride and pride in themselves, except for whites, of course. The native population is the one that the original population is going to be exempt from that. They're not going to get to have that. But every other new group gets to have that. And in the midst of that, Jews also get to have that. But meanwhile, they're the only ones that are actually really expressing and organizing themselves. I mean, man, we were going through the chapter yesterday on Franz Boas, and we looked at he also talked about how they organize, like, not just the NAACP, but all like that Native American shit. Like, every fucking minority thing was just organized by fucking kikes. Every single one in America.
Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
Every single fucking one. And it gets to the point where it's almost like fucking cliche to say it. And it feels like people are just repeating it because they heard it. But when you go back and you look at the fucking evidence of it, it's just like, God damn it. But yeah, anyway.
So here's the other thing. Do you remember that? I think this is a fake survey. Like, I don't know where these numbers came from. Do you remember seeing this like a month or two ago? This Fox News report that like Gen Z in the workplace, 77% admitted to bringing a parent to a job interview. 53% say parents spoke with a hiring manager on their behalf. 73% parents helped complete work assignments. 45% regularly have a parent talk to their current manager. Like, I don't believe any of these things, but you know, as a father of a Zoomer, as a father of one Zoomer that does go to work and I was still too young, it's like, these are things like I would love to do. Again, because like, who are the parents of Zoomer? They're younger people. They're not boomers anymore. Like, so a Zoomer is young. New to the workplace is the first time that they're in a situation where the authority figure, who's an adult, is not actually there to be their caregiver and keep their safety and everything else as the top priority. Like suddenly like the authority figure in the room is just like a shift manager, a boss that has no blood tie or love for you. You're just there in a working relationship and you've never been like this before. So you're in a situation where you can be taken advantage of as an employee. And as we all know now, since like bootstrapping is a lie and working is gay and companies are all evil, we all know this now. We're not boomers. It's like, how do you teach the young Zoomer to like not be taken advantage of and to actually assert yourself against what you perceive to be as an authority figure? It's like, you know, like I don't want you mouthing off at your teacher. You're not mouthing off at me, but at your job, if you feel like you need to mouth off to your manager, and you can do so, like, you know, like I had a situation where my son, they set up when he first got hired at this place. They set up like a direct deposit to his little bank account, but there was like a lag. So he received two paper paychecks, and for whatever reason, like the second one, they just never handed it to him. And I'm talking, I'm like, did you get your other? And like, he didn't want to go break balls about his paycheck. I wanted to go in there and be like, I'm like, who the fuck do you think you are letting my son leave this building without his paycheck? You think he's here for fun to work with? Like, I wanted to go in there. I wanted to rip assholes wide open. Because
that would have been amazing.
No, it wouldn't have, because it would be like, I would have cost him his job. But it's like, because I don't, it's like this like new reality of what this economy is. Like, people need to be taught that, because like, I don't know, like I feel like a boomer would be like, well, that's your own business. You got to go handle your job. I can't do everything for you. You have to.
I would have told him just you absolutely have to go do it and don't feel bad.
Well,
like,
I would love
to negotiate on behalf of my kids.
Oh, I would love it. I would love to go to that place. Like, well, how much are you paying?
Promotion raise. I'm gonna dox you and I'm gonna get you harassed.
Yeah, I just want to be like, how much are you paying?
You're gonna lose your job.
How many shifts is he getting? How many hours a week? What is this all about? What's the problem? Well, why are you paying him more?
Let's clarify. I want to ask this about this survey, because what are we talking about? Like, once, twice, how often? Because I had something like this happen. When I was first working, some woman that was being recruited for this job. It was like what eventually became Verizon, right? Mm-hmm. And the recruiter couldn't get me on the phone and like called my stepmom, and they like talked to each other and they commiserated because they were the same age.
Okay.
And they were like, oh yeah, because I was like 19, dude. I was like 20 or something like that. And so, you know, I was like young. And they were like commiserating with each other about, oh, he's smart, but he's young and irresponsible, and like tell him to call back. We have an offer, we want to get him in. And my parents were like, look, they really want you to work for them, and so you gotta go do it. And I was like, yeah, I don't like that offer. I didn't like. See, this is the privilege of actually like being able to do code in that economy back then. So I was real cocky about it. I was like, I don't like that fucking place. But anyway, I don't think it's that unusual. Like, maybe your parent came to your workplace just to see what it looks like. See, check out where you work.
I don't believe for a second that 73% of working Zoomers have parents who help them do their work.
Well, you do work assignments at work. Yeah, it's not like homework.
Doesn't make any sense. I'm pretty sure this entire survey is fake, but it's like it's to trigger this like bootstrap response in the boomers watching Fox News. And the reality is like Zoomers need to be taught the opposite of what boomers taught millennials and Xers.
I also think the idea of having a family member negotiate and help you get a job is not that alien to humans. Like how often have people? Like a parent calls, how often has it been that a family member has arranged for a job for somebody? That's really common.
My friend's got a job for you. Yeah, go work for them.
Right.
That's really annoying. That's actually really annoying. She's like, I don't want to work for him.
That's the worst, if you don't really want to, right?
This is like
boomer class consciousness. Like they're engaged. They're arranging.
What are you talking about? It's a job. What are you going to do instead? Like, I don't know. Just not be at that place. I'm not going to be at that deli at 6 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. How about I don't do that? How about we find a work option?
Collaborate with each other to provide slave labor for each other.
Yeah. how about we figure something? How about I figure something out on my own work? That's not, I am someplace at 6 a.m. on a Saturday when I've been at school. No, yeah. How about we not do that? How about we do literally anything but that job?
But. My dad used to be annoyed when I was allowed to go and work at 10 because I would basically tell places like I work 10 to 6.
Yeah,
good and they, most places were always like fine. Like in New York City, that was standard hours.
Matter, yeah.
Like 10 to 6, sure, yeah, why not? Whatever, who cares? In fact, I would get annoyed if there were places that expected me to be in at 9. I'd be like, "This is inhuman! Like, are you kidding me?" But again, I was able to kind of if I was still working today, I would probably be fucked. Because the market has tightened so much, in that, and there's so many more foreigners, and all that learn to code shit was just like a brief way to break the salaries of people that were good at that stuff, and now we have AI, which I'm sorry, I know people with the code that listen to this like, but it does massively increase your productivity. I'm not saying anybody should be installing AI code right away that you generate the AI code. You're like, yeah, just go ahead and install that. That would be retarded. But it actually does really increase your productivity, where I'd say you could probably cut staff by like half with that, if not more, because that's how much quicker people can code with AI. And the models just keep getting better. And so the issue is that should just mean you have the same number of programmers and they just work half the number of hours. Oh, you got a machine that held up. Okay, so I work 20 hours a week now. Good enough. Fair enough. You know, you do it from home, you clock in, you do three, four hours of vibe coding a week, you know, you just, you know, telling the AI just to do this, do that, and fixing it up, and then you're good. Make the same amount of money. That's what should be happening. That's how I would manage the economy.
That's true.
I want to make sure anybody trying to innovate and be an entrepreneur is completely crushed.
Yes.
especially crush the entrepreneurial spirit of people completely.
Yeah, we have a couple people that have commented on this last time. It's like, yeah, if I'm using AI tools, I just don't make sure nobody knows, because I don't need my boss finding out that I use an AI tool to cut my work rate or my work woe down by a large percentage. Absolutely. It's like, nah, I just dawdle around the office pretending to work. Because the AI helped me so much, because the last thing I need is to have them triple my workload, because...
Well, just always have code up on your screen, and then you can just do whatever you... I mean, I guess you want to do other things, though. Maybe you want to play a game or something. I don't know. What was your work remotely? I guess you can't do that anymore, either. They want you in the office.
Oh, I don't know. I don't like that no more. No, nobody likes
Position your desk in a corner. And just have the... key, so... Anyway, I don't know.
We're going to pivot to now. Government's closed. Government's closed, everybody! Good. And I think Trump is going to make it count. All these weird, outdated conservative, like libertarian economic things are coming true. Like, we're going to have a. Remember how a government shut down?
What is the argument, though?
So, remember like, when the government shut down was like nobody, that doesn't mean anything. It's just like, okay, so the park rangers at like Yellowstone aren't going to be at work for the next 2 weeks.
They've already defunded the Park Service. Park Service is already fucked. My God. Thanks to Trump. You having a moment?
Yeah, he's trying to make a point. Just let it go.
I just can't get anywhere.
Just let it happen.
All right,
don't fight it. I'm actually okay. My only thing is, I don't. What are they arguing about?
A little upset about the park ranger thing. It's a national forest. It was all armed down because they fucking defunded them. Like I go there and it's like, wow. So none of the bathrooms work. They had some sign up talking about like a local issue with the sewage system or bathrooms. None of that stuff's functional. Trails aren't maintained. Not a park ranger or anybody in sight. Yeah.
Well,
anyway.
Oh my God. It used to be like if there was a government shutdown, like they would rope off the this or that monument in D.C. Yeah, they would rope that off. You can't go in there now. You can't approach it. You can watch it from here behind. You know, we needed to work trying to put these barricades up. Basically, it was basically just like a non-issue. It was like a non-event, the content.
Really wanted to freak everybody out, you just be like, "Yeah, Social Security is not going to be sending out checks till we get this back on track."
Might do that. I mean, again, it's all content and it's all just performance. But Trump's talking about like how many people they can just lay off when the government shut down. They could do permanent gutting of this or that institution while there's no government open, and so that's what they're trying to sell. I don't know how much of that is going to, like, basically we're having a real government shutdown, according to these people.
This, to me, is one of the most odious things about this administration, aside from the most odious thing, which is, like, the support for Israel and, like, the basically being a Jew golem. All this is also doing that as well. Mm-hmm. But it's like, Trump was supposed to be not like this. Like, the whole thing with Trump is he wasn't a bog standard fucking conservative. Right. He wasn't the same as them. He was supposed to be more populist. Mm-hmm. You don't want to use that word socialism, but nationalist populist. He was supposed to not be adhering to these fucking economic shibboleths about cutting spending. And he was one of the few Republicans who would say, we need low interest rates. You would always want low interest rates, where typically they would be like, we raise the interest rates, which is fucking retarded to raise interest rates. So I was like, that's sort of already more of a Democrat kind of a thing, is wanting the low interest rates. But like, because that would allows the government to have more money, to make more money, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, literally make it, not earn it, but make it.
Yeah. out of paper.
But yeah, I just the fact that he is now shutting down the government over this bullshit, fake idea that like, and they're working into it, this work ethic shit. These lazy federal workers.
Yeah.
These lazy government workers, and of course, there's also like racial stuff implied there somewhat, although that feels like that implication of it has tapered off. It used to be heavily implied that when you were talking about government workers, you're talking about niggers. You're talking about like Chiniquas, like at a desk, like filing their nails and shit like that, right? And like trying to type on a keyboard with just the pads of their fingers because their nails are too long to type properly. You know what I mean? Like that's what you think of when you think like the lazy Democrat unionized government worker. It's like, but I don't even know if that's what people think about anymore. But it's like you're not here. I mean, you do this economy shit in these jobs reports. And then you're like, there's too many people working for the government. Why? Who fucking cares? Who gives a fuck? Who fucking cares?
Supposedly 100,000.
Like shutting down the government to like fire more people. It's just.
Supposedly 100,000 workers resigned in some way, shape, or form. I don't know if that's true. But,
Oh, well. Speaking of the Park Service, they are furloughing 64% of NPS staff.
Yeah, see, that's not good.
Which I guess they're just going to set my local national forest on fire at that point.
Right.
Or if it goes on fire, no one will do anything about it.
Yeah.
And the argument is over. They're centering the argument around the continuing resolution because, you know, there's never going to be a real budget for the, you know.
I'm reading about it because it's just purely sending. It's purely like we're spending too much. Well, on what? Well, on everything. Okay.
They're trying to center it around healthcare, free healthcare for illegals, which is just like, well, how about give me free healthcare? Like, I don't, who cares about that anymore?
Okay. So Department of Health Human Services is also furloughing 40% of its employees.
Right. They're trying to,
they've already had staff cuts thanks to Robert F. Kennedy.
Yes.
Nice.
They're trying to pretend that they have to stop this $1.5 trillion is being paid out in free health care to like illegal immigrants. I'm just like, that just no, there's just no way that is true. That's just not true.
The National,
that's not what you're fighting about. That's what like the Trump, that's the content,
the cover story.
Trump administration wants to pretend that they're fighting about that. Like, oh, these demon rats that are not in power want to give $1.5 trillion to illegal immigrants for free health care. And it's like, I'm like, are you implying that like my health, that I should be against that because my health care is so expensive prohibitively and it's so difficult for me to have it? Oh. Don't lean too far into that, Republicans. Because that's a good... Yeah, it's like, why is my health care so... And why are just these people being taken care of? Like, that's why I turn around to Obama and Democrats. Like, hey, yeah, what is up with that? How come it's only going to illegals? It's not going to illegals. It's going to somebody that's not me, because I'm not... No one's spending $1.5 trillion on my health care. You know?
So they're cutting the National Institutes of Health staff by 3/4.
Yeah, great. Thank you. That's good.
So that means that next thing we'll get is like a study proving that seed oils cause autism.
Right. That's essentially, yeah. Like they're probably doing that staff reduction anyway, because we've got the major breakthrough. Not in like a healthier food supply or tighter regulations on food and drugs, but acetaminophen causes.
They're actually doing the bit of like, did you notice how as soon as there was a government department to do take care of a certain thing, then everything there got worse? Like we created an education department and education got worse.
That's because
we created a health department and health got worse. It's like, that's actually not true.
You're right.
It's actually not fucking true in terms of the health thing. Education thing got worse because you're bringing in niggers and beaners all over the place. That's just straight up. It's just racist. Yeah,
you know, it gives me a great idea, though. So if we have this issue with health in the country, right? People are unhealthy, bad health outcomes. What if we just stop measuring the outcomes? What if we just stop looking at that data?
Which, ironically enough, isn't that exactly the sort of anti-vaxxers want to retreat into when they want to do a nihilism on the data on because they basically saying that, well, the data don't show these vaccines being dangerous the way you say, like, right, because we're not studying it like in the right way.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, so now we're just going to do that. Anyway, I hate this government. I hate this administration. Yep. I hate their priorities. I hate their morals. They're disgusting people. They're awful. And I hate the fact that there are people that cheer for this as if like they're getting something and you're not, you're just a bunch of trained fucking monkeys and you're pathetic. I look down on you. You're contemptible. You're slime. You should feel like it.
No class.
You are trash if you like this Trump government. You are utter trash and you're fucking scum and you are like really just crawling on your exposed white underbelly like with a thin coat of slime on it. You're just disgusting. You know, like it's just awful. Oh, but Kamala would have been worse. I don't think so. I'm not saying you would have been better, but I don't think it would have been worse.
What kind of excuse is that?
It doesn't matter.
This isn't like, better than Kamala would have been. Like, that's like, why are you telling yourself not, that?
It's not.
Everything is terrible.
It's not.
You would just have.
And yeah. What is it? Like, what's your deliverable on the government being better? Well, content. It's just content. You people have no fucking deliverable that you expect. There's nothing you're asking for. You want the content. All you want. You want the fucking Stephen Miller Terminator memes and shit like that. It's pathetic. You're not getting any of that shit. None of that's real. Laying off, are you serious? 3/4 of the NIH staff is getting, are they furloughing them for this? Or are they planning on laying them off?
Yeah, they're furloughed.
Okay, all right. So they're not planning on permanently firing them?
I guess not, but there have been cuts in those departments.
Obviously, yeah. Well, according to the New York Times, 300,000 government workers have fired or left since Trump took office. And they say in many cases they were pressured to leave. And this, of course, meant that other workers would be overworked, which that may be true, maybe not. I don't know. I haven't looked into it. But so this year's shutdown differs. Because around 300,000 workers have left federal service since the beginning of the year, most either fired or pressured to resign by Trump administration. This has meant that in some cases, employees have already been working the jobs of 2 or 3 people. Maybe, but whatever. It doesn't matter. Trump administration said the government workforce needed to shrink. Okay, so it's not just about this illegal immigrant healthcare thing. Oh, this is the New York Times, granted, right. But still. Tuesday, Mr. Trump said a new round of layoffs during the shutdown would be done to punish his political opponents.
Yep.
Yes. At least the shutdown in 2018 was about something, right? Or at least the pretense of it being about
something. And then
something.
He completely like, caved. He completely caved. Yeah. Trump totally caved on that. And so, I don't know.
Yeah. That was also only a partial shutdown. That one was legitimately only a partial shutdown.
Right.
And I'm not exactly sure. They are saying the Post Office and Social Security Administration are going to continue to operate. So I don't know how this is going to work out eventually. I mean, on some level, it's just like, I hope that just not that many people will get fucked over, you know?
Thanks for enjoying the free first half of the Daily Showa on therightstuff.biz. You're missing half the show, and if you want to hear the rest of it and support our efforts, please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall, where you can sign up for a monthly, quarterly, 6-monthly or annual subscription using your credit card for instant access, cryptocurrency for almost instant access, and money orders paid by mail. We appreciate your support and thank you for listening.
But I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
It's annoying that it continues to sort of like endears his psychotic sociopathic like supporters are just like over the moon because this is the kind of content they want.
Right, they want the content of federal workers like being laid off.
I don't even think it's that. It's the idea of this is going to slash the government, the phantom government spending that I don't actually know anything about, but I've been reading bad books for 15 years about how like I saw somebody trotting out like people were taking the fight at face value that it's about $1.5 trillion for healthcare. It's like, oh, it's good that these people won't become dependent on government for their health care. And I just was like, well, being dependent on the insurance system hasn't really worked out that well for a lot of people. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, wouldn't you rather be dependent, quote unquote, on a government to provide you services than like on a capitalist insurance scam that bankrupts people and doesn't provide them services? I mean, why do you think it's like, do people never take a second and be like, do you know why Luigi shot that guy in the head? Did you read the story about his mother, about what she went through? I mean, just the one aspect of that story where they spoke about, like, she had gone through all these tests, she had a $12,000 deductible, and she'd been chipping away at it, and then, whoopsie, it's January 1st. Now your $12,000 starts over again. So she paid out of pocket whatever it was, I don't know, let's call it $9,000 for the previous year, January 1st. Now the clock starts over, you have to whittle down 12 grand until you get to where they'll start paying you out. You just got fucked. It's like that's enough right there. Like that you're billing me based on that. Like, all right, I'm shooting someone in the head. Like just on that alone, it's like, we know how dishonest and how shitty and bad faith that is. Like, oopsie, it's January 1st. Time to restart the $12,000 deductible countdown. Fuck you. Yeah, like for those who don't grasp it, your deductible just instantly became, in the numbers I made up, $21,000 instead of 12.
The reactionary conservative narrative on dependence is something that needs to be deconstructed.
It's very stupid. Like, yeah, I was going to say.
What are you talking about, dependent? Like, you live in a complicated society. with division of labor and like you don't provide everything you need for yourself. And on some level, you are depending on others for everything. So the question is, you are depending on the government for quite a bit already, right?
You're going to be able to send your kids to a public school run by the government, right? Right?
Just the roads, like all the shit, right? We could use it to go right. I guess my question is like the most visceral.
Are you a stakeholder in this government system or not?
No, I don't want to be.
I want them to leave me alone.
I don't want to have a steak. I'm like, really? I would love to have a steak. I'm fucking starving.
Oh, fuck.
There's one right now. I'm pretty hungry.
Also, I'd love to get I'd love for your son to have a steak as well. You know,
everybody's son.
I'm going to follow my son to work and demand steak for him from his boss. Listen, you're going to buy my son a steak right now, or he's not working here anymore.
Where's the steak at?
Steak lunch for all the employees today. Shit.
You said he was going to be a stakeholder.
Make him a steak chewer.
Holding a steak. Where is it?
Steak I don't want to be a stakeholder. I want to be a steak biter.
Dependency is just like the idea is like if you want free things, that makes you a slave. Like that. Remember the reaction of like them. They're like the early turn of rightoids against us during COVID because you told white men to stay home and get welfare. It's like, I told you to demand money from the government if they weren't going to let you go to work. That makes me slave. Like, good, you're a slave. You think you're better than that? Like, you are not better than a slave. You have this little, like, ideological mentality that you are, but you're actually not. You are out hustling. You are out hustling for big capital every day of the year. That's what you do.
Well, let me tell
you couldn't know what to do yourself, and if you didn't have to. It doesn't make, like, that, like, being dependent, like somebody else lighting a load by writing you a government check, that's not what makes you a slave, my friend. Like, your total, like, dedication to the capitalist system and being a good, reliable cog in it with your Protestant work, that's what makes you a slave, my friend. That's
anybody that said that you overdose on fucking conservatism and you need to stop. Like, you've got that shit is bad for you. You're a slave to that shit. We don't talk about being a fucking slave. You're mentally enslaved to like a fucking reactionary ideological system devised by Jews in order to keep you like a fucking pleb forever.
No,
like,
you're a Jew. I use Jew as an insult, and you can't insult. I insult you as a Jew because I don't understand.
Right, and except in all other circumstances, you love Jews, and it's only when it comes to us then you like the most anti-Semitic network on the internet. You decide now you hate Jews and you're going to accuse us of being Jews when you don't accuse them in any other circumstance. Fuck you, fuck all you people, and like if you said that, if you had that thought, like. The government was writing you a check for $600 a week.
The government was trying to get out of it. The government was trying to get out of it. They were trying everything they could to not write white men checks. And you were saying, like, yeah, don't. I want to go back to work. It's like, no, demand the fucking check. They're telling you, need, like, if you really don't like wearing masks and you don't like staying home, make them pay you to do it. Instead of being like, no, I'm going to go out and I'm going to not wear a mask. I'm going to work anyway because I'm a fucking slave because I'm not going
to
be
dependent. You have to wear a mask at home. Like collecting that. Also, frankly, like people did. Let's be honest. Like, no matter what people said, people did take the check because people always will. And so all that shit was just ideological bloviation. And people did repair their credit balances. People did spend more time with their family. Just what I was saying. Like, isn't it better that you don't have to go into work? That you can get this money from the government. That you can spend more time with your family, or you can go. You know, you could always go outdoors. You could always touch grass. You can always touch rocks. You can go do that. Like, you can go walk around in the woods. You can do all these things. You don't have to go to this fucking awful dehumanizing grind every day. For a little bit, there was a little bit of hope. I was like, this is actually a nice time. I actually enjoyed it. And a lot of people told me, like, have told me secretly they liked it as well, that they enjoyed, like, yes, getting some free money, staying home, spending time with the family, or going out and, like, you know, doing stuff outside where you don't have to wear a mask either. You go out of the woods, you don't have to wear a mask there. A lot of people would tell me that secretly, but they were like intimidated about saying these things publicly because they didn't want to be piled on as if like, because everybody was supposed to be performatively pretending that they were in prison. Because
they didn't want to have a bunch of race traders telling them that they needed to go back to work for the Jew.
Well, it's not just that. It's like there was this pretense that we were under some fucking totalitarian. I was like, what? Like, this medical tyranny shit was just utter bullshit. Like,
where'd it go? What happened to it? How come it doesn't exist anymore? Yeah. I don't have a vaccine passport. Right. I don't have, like, I never got the vaccine, and no one has come and made me do it. No one from my
Yeah,
like, people were expected. There's no vaccine tyranny. It's gone. It's over.
Well, the vaccine tyranny is Robert F. Kennedy. The vaccine tyranny is Robert F. Kennedy, like, defunding
Robert
all
F. Kennedy
this shit
bringing it
and
bringing
telling people to go his, ahead and let your kids get measles.
Bringing his rightoid lies into it. Like, there's no reason to be skeptical about vaccines in any way, shape, or form. No. The only slight reason there was to be skeptical of the COVID ones because they were built so quickly and they bypassed a lot of a lot of trial stages that normally would have do, but you know you needed the vax right away and it was mostly safe.
It was an emergency situation.
Everything that they made up about it was wrong. It was all lies. Yeah. You have to. That's the thing. I wrote this on my Twitter yesterday, like very shoddily. It was like you have to be willing to. You have to internalize and accept that everything the right tells you is a lie. They have never told the truth about anything, any issue, and any narrative of theirs you're believing. Like, I just come to me with it. I will pick apart where the lie is, what they want you to actually turn that narrative into and internalize and turn into your worldview that is wrong, that is a lie, and it's only there to hurt you. And anti-vax stuff, I mean, it's literally, it was just created for Jewish quacks to be able to do grifting against people that don't know science and don't understand medicine. Like it's not our job. Like, we don't understand medicine and science. That's a difficult field. That's why people spend like I don't know how many years at school and how many hundreds of thousands of dollars to become a doctor. It's because it's not for everyone and not everyone knows it. So someone can easily come along with the I'm just asking questions narrative and a bunch of bullshit that you can't look up on your own, but then teach you to say shit like I do my own research. No, you do not do your own research. No one does their own research. Everyone goes to a grifter or an influencer that they trust, and they just trust what they say. There is no research involved. That's how you get at alternative health. Alternative health is strictly someone lied to you and you trust them. You call watching someone else's bullshit on YouTube or whatever research. That's not research. Like when I watch Dave Farina, I don't say I'm doing research on why vaccines are good. I'm watching a scientist that I trust that knows the stuff better than me. Like, oh, interesting. I didn't know that. And I trust that, like, I can go look up what he's talking about. Like, yes, there have been countless studies about aluminum, whatever the fuck they called them, going into your going into vaccines. Like, they
also a lot of the shit, a lot of the shit that they were falling, he was falling back on, is just like shit that they'd already removed from it, they'd taken out of it. Like, again, it's like the script hasn't been updated. I told Ari talked about how angry that made me that the lies that Brett Weinstein was sitting there saying.
Okay.
And I was wondering, like, why is he doing it? Because he knows better. He knows he is lying. Like, he knows he is sitting there just fucking lying through his teeth.
Because he's earning.
And you could see.
He's earning.
You could see. But there's more than that because he's a Jew. So there's another angle. It's not just making money. If it was a white person, because there are white people that do this shit and know they're lying and they're doing it for making money. But there's some other reason that he's doing it because he's not just a Jew. He's like a politically involved Jew, right? Like he's not even just some like lower tier grifting Jew. He's like a higher up there, like actually wheels are spinning for Jew fucking issues Jew, like him and his brother. They have a fucking agenda. So what is it? This is what I was curious about. And I think the general thing is they are using their credentials to feed rightoidism. Because they see rightoidism as being good for Israel. Because it's not that they believe any of it, it's that they want to have a population of people that are dumb, superstitious, and trusting in only like bullshit alternative crap and MAGA stuff, because that will lends power to MAGA. And they want to lend power to MAGA because that MAGA is basically is an Israeli fucking psyop, right? It's the Likudniks, the Chabadniks.
It's a tunnel Jew.
Like those type, yeah, the tunnel Jews and Netanyahu, like that's their people. And so those guys are like, okay, well, we're going to lend social proof, social credibility to these stupid fucking peasant superstitions that the kind of people that vote for this, you know, it's not, I don't even, like, for a while I was like, is it that you just want white people to die? Like, and they're probably part of it. Maybe that's part of it. But like, do you just want them to die? Do you just want their children to die? Is that what it is? But no, I think it's not quite as immediate as that. I think for Brett and Eric Weinstein and the Joe Rogan thing, because they're the main ones that go on. They feed all of this fucking stuff. They are responsible for so much, or at least they are like a spawn point of so much of the retarded, pseudo-intellectual, fake anti-science shit that happens on the right now. Like they are a spawn point for so fucking much of it. And I really think it's just to feed rightoidism. Like they're just feeding rightoidism because they know that is good for Israel ultimately. And so that's, I think, ultimately what the agenda is. Funny, Dave Farina always says it's like they're anti-intellectual bias because it helps like the right wing. I'm like, it's deeper than that, Dave. You're close, but like, but it's not, because he always also said it's for their own personal wealth that they're, it's like, nah, if it's a white person, it's for their personal wealth. If it's a Jew, there's a fucking agenda. And these fucking kikes have an agenda. They know better too. They know better. Like when I saw Eric Weinstein pandering to that dumb nigger Terrence Howard, pretending like he wasn't anything other than a fucking retarded nigger making up dumb bullshit. Like you saying, well, your mind is working in an interesting way. I'm like, no, it's not. No, it's not. This is a grandiose, self-centered nigger who thinks every thought out of his head is like something that comes from God because he's like hallucinating. Like there's nothing special about him. He's a retard. And you're sitting there amping him up because you want to feed the right. He's like a rightoid fucking nigger. You want to feed that tendency.
The right doesn't have any institutional, like academic power, really. Like they have is pseudo electoral. So they have to create sort of an entire industry of pseudo electoralism, pseudo professional, pseudo science, and so that's sort of like it's not really their own. It's not their own like income. It's really like this industry has to exist, and the Weinsteins are sort of at the forefront of it because they're always on Joe Rogan, and Joe Rogan treats them like they're these unsung heroes of of alternative intellectualism, science. It's all just a lie.
The industry consists purely of doing content and selling supplements.
Right.
Like that's the industry, and selling ivermectin.
Yes.
Right. And like the amount of people that have gotten sucked into that. Yeah. Like
the amount of people who still believe that ivermectin is like a downtrodden like thing that the government tried to hide from us. It's like, no, it's like, they lied to you. It came from the right. It was a lie. Yeah, it was a lie.
You were lied to on purpose, and they were laughing.
To this very day,
they were laughing.
If you type Goddard into Twitter, you're going to have bots trying to sell you ivermectin instantly.
Oh, yeah.
If I type Goddard?
Did I say Goddard?
Yeah.
Ivermectin.
Oh.
Ivermectin. Not Goddard. That's correct.
What if you type Qatar? You get
Qatar?
You type anything. You type anything, and you get an ad for ivermectin, at least on Rumble. Speaking of that, although I guess we're kind of coming close to the end of this hour, but hour we got to do that.
We got to do that, and we got to talk about the Israeli deal with the Gaza peace deal.
Yeah. I had the text of it up. I think I clicked away from it, but I can find it again. We might the Alex Jones Ezra Levant thing might take a while, but we're going to do the Gaza plan.
Gaza plan is just not. It's just not. It's just a non-starter. Like Hamas.
You should hear that. What's in it though? Like, do you know that? Like, the whole idea of it was that Gaza is going to be governed by a board of which Trump is going to be the chairman,
and like Tony Blair.
And Tony Blair is going to do. Tony Blair was going to be the chairman, and they're like, oh, well, maybe not. He's compromised, so we'll put Trump. But Tony Blair will still be on the board. So Tony Blair and Trump are going to be like the ultimate governors of Gaza. Now, there's another element to this, that this is never going to happen, and it's obviously a fucking joke, but like, shouldn't this actually annoy Americans? Like, aren't you the president of the United States? Why are you volunteering yourself to be part of a board to govern a foreign territory? What is going on? Like, is this not going to then be your priority? You know what I mean? I understand it's all fake, it's all bullshit, but within the parameters of like how people are taught to think about this government, they should actually be mad at this. But I guess on some level, everyone knows all this shit is fake anyway. So they think, oh, that's just based. Like the idea of Trump, like what? Like taking over Gaza, like being a part of a governing board for the Gaza Strip. Like, are you fucking kidding me? But the main thing is the Jews aren't going to do it. The Jews are never going to do this. And they don't have no plans on doing it. Like, I think this is basically some attempt to like, this is some attempt to basically make Hamas look like the bad guys again or something. I don't know. I actually don't know what the fuck the Jews' plan is. I feel like they don't know what their plan is either, but they're in a like a zugzwang position or whatever, because they like there's nothing they can do, but there's nothing that is good. Like they don't have a good move, but they can't make a bad move either. Well,
they can't beat Hamas, so I just feel like this is all hand waving and distraction. Yeah. And I also think they're like trying to create pretense to like go after Iran again, like with all the with the snapback sanctions and the IAEA stuff that they're saying. If Iran said that if the snapback sanctions happen, then they're considering their agreement with the nuclear authorities null and void.
Yeah,
Which I don't know why they negotiated in the first place. It's like if I was around, like the last thing I would do after having my nuclear facilities hit with bunker busters was be like, go to the United States' pet international agency and negotiate with them to not have news. I'd be like, no, I'm not doing
that. They were trying to make Rafael Grossi, who was the head of that agency when they did all that gay-opping to Iran, like they were trying to make him the Secretary General of the UN. The guy's just obviously a fucking Israeli agent.
Yeah,
he's not Jewish. But he's obviously just working for the Jews. Sure. Like, yeah, go ahead. But like, that shit. Like, I don't know. Well, there's a whole narrative there of like the inside of Iran. Like, there's like the liberal cuck moderate wing that always is wanting to do negotiations, and talks. And the hardline wing is always telling them like, you fucking niggers are getting fooled again.
Every time you talk to them, someone gets killed. Yeah. Every time we talk to them, something awful happens, and it's they're like white
toys. But again,
they just keep falling for.
Yeah, they keep wanting it to be different than it is, and it's like it's not different. This is how it is now.
The
world is just
the Jews don't. The last thing Jews actually want is peace with you. They want to dominate you and destroy you if they have to.
Yeah, there's some malicious actors there too. Like there's one particular government. There's one particular official in Iran that the people they all accuse him of being Jewish. Like I forget his name. I'd have to look it up. But he's like he's been around in their government for a while, and they're like all the hardline people. This guy's a fucking Jew. This guy's like a secret Jew. So they've got their own internal issues, right? Like,
are they not just recently trying to negotiate with some families in Gaza to sort of like provide an opposition group to Hamas, and the families refused, and then they
bombed them. Yes, they families refused, and they bombed their house and killed 11 members of their family. They wanted to organize another Al-Shabaab gang, which, by the way, Al-Shabaab is getting decimated. Like, they're getting grabbed and executed for their treason.
Imagine if there was a real... Imagine if there was a counterbalance to U.S. power. This just couldn't happen. I mean, that's coming
eventually. Kind of evil shit just couldn't go on. Yeah, I know.
There's an Iranian delegation in Belarus and in Moscow over the weekend, over the past several days. There's a lot going on in that theater.
There's a lot of shit going on right now. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on.
The Iranians released a bunch of, Israeli nuclear data that they had also, which is interesting.
They had fucking spies. According to them, they had spies inside of their plants. They released footage and shit of it, so.
And, of course, once again, all of our refuelers, well, not all of our refuelers, it's several refueling aircraft have entered the theater over the past several days. If you're enjoying what you're hearing, please visit therightstuff.biz/paywall to sign up for a paid subscription and hear the other half of the show Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, as well as Mic Check on Thursday nights and Painovich and Boscovich on Tuesdays. therightstuff.biz/paywall. So
I had thought that, because I was thinking, I remember that there was this long summit with Netanyahu and Trump where Netanyahu was in D.C. He stayed for 4 days and they were in secret meetings with Trump for all these days. I was like, was that before the war with Iran or not? And it was not. It was afterwards. Okay. It was right after that war finished up that happened. So I was like, is this going to be another thing where Bibi comes to the U.S. for 4 days and then suddenly we have this war or something? But no, that was after. It was after that shit. And that was when they formulated the last fake bullshit feast plan.
Well, you got to remember, we got to remember, they like pageantry and they like theatrics, right? When Donald Trump tweeted that the 12-day war was over, I was like, you motherfuckers, you're just stealing that from the 6-day war. You don't get to have kitschy little names for your fucking conflicts. I was like,
and they like that, and they like that title,
right?
Because the 6-day war was such a victory for Israel, right?
And it's that's why they went with it. And it's like, so they're gonna meme this as a legacy sequel, a soft reboot. And I was like offended they did that, of course. But I'm saying of course they did it. So
I saw exactly what he was doing by naming it that. It's you're naming it in the legacy of the 6-day war, which is known as this massive victory. Yeah.
And so we're coming up on October 7th. It's are they going to do something literally on October 7th? I wouldn't be surprised if they launch some major.
They do anniversaries and
they like anniversaries.
That.
They like pageantry.
Jews
they like
do that. Like
they like to tie things together and then retcon them into prophecies that were fulfilled. They like to do shit like that.
Yeah.
And I could see that happening. With all this action taking place and with that summit, it's just and all this, and let's not forget all this other bullshit that's happening right now, all the ICE protests, the government shutdown. It's all perfect distractions for in the background something insane and Zionist happens, and either nobody cares because something else is on their mind, because I don't care about that, It's like, either I don't care about that, or like, I didn't see headlines on that because I was so worried about where my, you know, Social Security check was going to come from. Is it going to come in, or am I going to get this, or, you know, or the, oh wow, look at that, they're going to cut the education department by this much because of the shutdown. This is awesome. You know, you have all this fodder to not pay attention to what they're doing.
I increasingly feel like I don't even want to address or inter- I mean, we will address rightoids and stuff, but I don't want them to anymore feel like they get to come in and like hang something over us, like try and like
there's nothing they can hang over us. All you can hang over us is you can try to hang over me your own shame. It doesn't work. You're the one that's ashamed. Right, I'm not ashamed of anything I say. You're ashamed.
But increasingly, like I don't want you to even feel like you have any kind of leverage to do that because I'm just not part of your thing. So you can't try and like come at me as if like the thing has these ideas and you're now not adhering to them. Because I do get that a lot.
I'm opposed to all your ideas. I'm opposed to the thing's ideas.
The ideas I'm putting out are mine. You can now they will maliciously interpret them to be like that it's something that they're not, right? Because it's like they've constructed a thing, and like this thing means that you are so-called pro-white, right? This set of ideas, and since we're outside that, or we critique that, then that's considered anti-white. That's silly. That's retarded.
I'm not the one that made pro-white synonymous with Zionist. Someone else did that.
Like you did
and
that.
I've decided to let you have it, and so it's like fine. I'm not pro-white then. Like that doesn't hurt me. Like what do you got now?
Well, I'm just going to analyze what you've done. Yeah, there's the essence of things, and there's how things are used politically.
Yeah.
My positions haven't changed.
Nope.
My positions haven't changed on Jews and on like white sovereignty. None of that has changed. So if you feel like something has changed, well, then what's changed about you? What are you thinking that's different?
You got
gayer. You've decided to become a fucking conservative. We've always shat on conservatives. We always will. But I'm not part of the thing anymore where you can come and act as if I am like you get to hold your community standards over me. Like you get to come with those.
You don't have a community.
I'm not.
I have.
You know what I'm saying.
Have communities. These people have imaginary friends on Twitter,
right?
On Telegram, then they have imaginary action. They have imaginary futures. They have imaginary clout and they have imaginary pride in themselves. They're just sociopathic retards who don't matter. And you're just swept up. You're swept up in the Jew game of cheering for Donald Trump and MAGA, and you're an idiot, and it's funny. And I hope it makes you unalive yourself one day when you realize your mistake. You're probably not smart enough to realize your mistake, so you'll just...
You could say kill on this program. You could say kill yourself on this
I like unalive, though. It's funny.
Oh, all right.
I think it's funny to say unalive yourself. That's actually my goal. Like, I don't want to convince any conservatives to stop. I want them to hear my content and then kill themselves. Like, I want them to be so upset and so angry and so dismayed that they just kill themselves. So that there would be less conservatives in the world. That would be good. Like every Republican voter.
Oh, but they're white. You're white. You want them to kill. You're anti-white. You want them to kill. Well, don't you guys all want liberals to die, right? Yeah. They're white.
I want them to all live because they're nicer people. They make nicer communities. They make nicer places. They're nicer to be around. Even with the tranny stuff, they're nicer to be around than you fuckers.
Is true.
Show me a tranny flag flying, and I'll show you a really nice white neighborhood that would be great to live in, but you probably can't afford because you're a low life that mows lawns for a living.
But still doesn't, yeah. I mean.
Where the hell is my bumper?
I'm trying to get it, though.
Huh?
Fuck that shit. I still hate the tranny stuff, too, though. But. Again, that's the low-hanging fruit. They give you that
stuff. Don't give
them
that. I'm not willing to say that to satisfy a rightoid. Fuck you. Fuck you and all your fucking easy out of like anti-trans. You know how easy it is to be anti-tranny?
Yes, that's, I know. That's my
easy
point.
Bullshit. That's nothing. You deserve nothing for that. And I don't want to. I'm not going to join you in it either. I don't give a shit. Fuck you. I'm anti-rightoid. I'm anti-conservative. I'm anti-Republican. Everything else doesn't matter. Well, other than destroying Israel. But that's just the Republicans' main goal is for Israel. So I want to destroy Israel and thus the Republicans. Destroy them both. No other fucking issue matters anymore. If you don't like the world the way it is, like it's like if you really didn't like trannies, you would oppose Israel and you would oppose Republicans. But you love trannies. You like to wake up in the morning, I'm gonna check into social media. Who was brutally raped and murdered or whatever by liberals, by trannies, by blacks? Oh, thank God that happened today so I can go out and I can performatively be angry about it on social media anonymously. And in the end of the day, I'm going to vote for Donald Trump and the Republicans to do something about it. It keeps happening. Why? It's because you're a faggot. and I hope you kill yourself. It's going to keep happening, and you're going to keep empowering it. Get your ivermectin ready. You don't want to catch any diseases from the tranny that rapes you, or the packy, or whatever the hell else. You're like all these, like, it's like the whiteoids and the sunoids. They like deserve each other. They're the same person. They're all just going to victimize each other in a grand cycle of circle jerking.
Well, they're the ones that all do shit like all the fucking time in like mutually, like mutually assured Jew fucking golem. It's really annoying, actually, how bad it is. But yeah,
yeah. So I guess that's
hurricanes spilling off the East Coast.
I'm just gonna have to deal with the fact that those people think that I'm anti-white. I can't have Kike Slammer 88 thinking that I'm not. Actually, Kike Slammer 88 is a good guy.
Kike Slammer 88 is fucking awesome, though. I know. But, like, they don't think that. Like, they are saying that because they want you to change something about.
But I don't want to change for you, especially for you. I want to do it harder when I hear you say it.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is, like, they don't think anything.
If I change my mind, will you kill yourself? I'll kill you. I'll change my mind. I'll change my rhetoric if you kill yourself.
Group of talking points that they want to have repeated to them, right?
I'm going
to
repeat.
And
them.
They just
kill
want
yourself.
That on right. Yes, yes, yes.
Eat
they
gun.
Want that on.
You have
recycled.
A nice gun. You got a real nice gun collection. Put it in your mouth. See how many fit.
Right. They want these talking points on recycle, and people are willing to give that to them. I'm just not. Borzoi posted something this morning. If you lie to people that want to be lied to, you'll be rich.
Yeah.
If you tell people the truth that want to be told the truth, you can make a modest living. If you tell people the truth that want to be lied to, you go broke. So I just want to make a modest living telling the truth.
I want to tell the truth to people that should kill themselves. What will I get?
You go broke for that.
I guess so.
No, because they don't kill themselves. They just seethe with hate for you. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Give them reason to live. Sucks. Anyway, let's take a break here.
That's actually you gotta be careful about that. You don't want to do that by accident.
But I don't live my life by other people's feelings. I don't care.
There you go, right.
So
that sounds like a kind of a boomery kind of thing to say though, isn't it? Like
No.
I actually do worry about
it's the way a well adjusted confident person talks.
To some extent. Anyway. I like to think that I have sensitivity and care about other people, and I'm concerned for their feelings.
Oh, I do, just not these people.
Unhappy. Yeah, no, not
I care
those
about
people.
Other people. I care about people that aren't the people I'm talking about.
But I do care about their feelings too. I want those people to feel bad. So I'm always worried about other people's feelings.
That's so much.
Like, you know, there's a group of people I would like to feel good and comfortable and happy, and there's a group of people I want to feel terrible and on the brink of suicide. So this is basically.
Mm. Anyway, I'm hungry. We'll be back.
The Death Panel will be right back after this riff. On the Daily Showa.